I'm going to share briefly about the Christmas story out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we pause to bow our heads and our hearts before you, we're thankful for the gift that you've given us, your son Jesus. We celebrate your entrance into the world this day, on this eve of Christmas, Lord. Our hearts are just filled with thanksgiving and gratefulness and joy because of the great gift that you've given unto us. We celebrate Jesus here tonight, and we glorify him. It's in his name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. The story about three brothers who left home, went out on their own, and became very successful. Getting together for Christmas, they discussed the gifts that they were able to give their elderly mother. The first said, "I built a big house for Mom." The second son said, "I sent her a Mercedes." The third smiled and said, "I've got you both beat. You remember how Mom enjoys reading the Bible? And you know she can't see very well, so I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took trainers 10 years to teach him. He's one of a kind. Mom just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot recites it." Well, soon after Christmas, Mom sent out her letters of thanks to the three boys. "Dear Tom," she wrote son number one, "the house you built is too huge. I live in only one room, but I have to keep the whole house clean. It's too big." "Dear Bob," she wrote son number two, "I am too old to drive anymore. I stay at home most of the time, so I rarely use the Mercedes." "Dearest Donald," she wrote son number three, "you have the good sense to know what your mother likes. Thank you for a very practical gift. The chicken was delicious." Well, she missed the point of the gift. And I think it's safe to say there are a lot of people today around this Christmas time of year who have missed the real point of the gift. For many people, Christmas is nothing more than just a huge commercial event. It begins the day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday, when you shop till you drop, when you buy till you die. Did you hear about the story this year about a woman on Black Friday in Los Angeles at a Walmart? She used pepper spray to fight off people because she was after an Xbox 360. 20 people were injured. Can you get this scene? "Hi, hey, hey, Merry Christmas. Hey, Jesus is the reason for the season. Now back off, drummer boy. I need my Xbox 360. I don't know who named it Black Friday, but I think it's appropriate. The color for funeral attire. There are a lot of men who have died on this day. And I want you guys to know, listen up, ladies, there is actually now scientific evidence that shopping is hazardous to a man's health. I kid you not. A study done a few years ago, commissioned by Land's End, it was conducted by British psychologist Dr. David Lewis. He found proof that shopping is hazardous to men's health. He tested men ages 22 to 79, sent them out Christmas shopping, and the study says he recorded blood pressure and heart rates that, quote, "you'd expect to see in a fighter pilot going into combat," end quote. Even before they stepped out the front door to head for the stores, more than 70% of men started to show these symptoms. Quote, for men, even the thought of going shopping was enough to send stress levels soaring, concludes Dr. Lewis. By the way, ladies, for women, only 1 in 4 showed any significant signs of stress from shopping. As a man, I've come to understand why it is that doctors call the most severe seizure a grand mal seizure. We got another husband down near Macy's. He's mopping up the floor with his body. I think it's another grand mal seizure. Yeah, I think many of us have had one. Is this what Christmas has become, though? Is it just a huge commercial event? Is it a school winter pageant? Is it all the legal battles that go over the nativity displays? What in the world is happening in our own courthouse lawn here in Leesburg? All of the battles over the displays down there. You know, why don't the atheists just leave us alone? Really? Come on. We don't bother them on their holiday, April 1st, right? Let them be. Let us be. Psalm 14:1 says, only a fool says in his heart, there is no God. So I'm just keeping it real. Things weren't always as politically correct, by the way. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, Christmas Eve address, 1944. He said this, quote, we will celebrate this Christmas day in our traditional American way because of its deep spiritual meaning to us, because the teachings of Christ are fundamental in our lives, and because we want our youngest generation to grow up knowing the significance of this tradition and the story of the coming of the immortal Prince of Peace, end quote. Very similarly, President Harry Truman, Christmas Eve address, 1952, he said, quote, through Jesus Christ, the world will yet be a better and a fairer place. This faith sustains us today as it has sustained mankind for centuries. This is why the Christmas story, with the bright stars shining and the angels singing, moves us to wonder and stirs our hearts to praise. Now, my fellow countrymen, I wish for all of you a Christmas filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit and many years of future happiness with the peace of God reigning upon this earth, end quote. Now, fortunately, we do still have a few leaders in Washington who are unashamed about declaring the true meaning behind Christmas. Just a few weeks ago at the official Christmas tree lighting of the U.S. Capitol Christmas tree, House Speaker John Boehner said this, quote, though winter is upon us, the Christmas tree flourishes as a symbol of everlasting life. That life and light, of course, is Christ, whose birth to Mary fulfilled a prophecy of joy and salvation. Out in the fields where the shepherds slept, the angels broke the silence by singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, end quote. Christmas Eve is a good time to put all of that aside and to just come and settle our hearts before the Lord and to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. The moment in time when God stepped into our world, when he entered the human race, being born of a virgin, so that eventually then he could grow up and die on a cross for the sins of the world. This miraculous event, this the coming of God to earth to take on flesh, is what theologians call the incarnation. John in his gospel would write it this way in John chapter 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, it's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later in that chapter he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the reason that Matthew would write, we read it a moment ago in Matthew 1:23, that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah from Isaiah 7:14. Which says the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, God coming to be among us, to die for us. The prophets predicted him. The angels announced him. The shepherds, they proclaimed him. The wise men worshipped him. More than 300 Old Testament prophecies pointed to the coming of the Messiah, and all of them were fulfilled in no one else besides Jesus. He fulfilled them all, even including prophecies relating to his virgin birth, relating to where he would be born, that he would be of the lineage of David, and that he would be divinity. He is God. The prophet Micah, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, would declare the birthplace of Christ in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. He said, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Jeremiah the prophet, 600 years before the birth of Christ, would talk about how the Messiah, how Jesus would be a descendant of David. He would talk about how the Messiah would be a branch, an offshoot of David. In Jeremiah 23:5, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, capital B in the Bible, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Now, interestingly, the word branch there in Hebrew is Netzer. The town from which Jesus came, the town in which he grew up, is Nazareth. It is in Hebrew Netzer Eretz, meaning the land of the branch. Jesus is that branch of David. Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before Christ was born, would prophesy that he is in fact divine, that Jesus, Messiah, will be God. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The prophets predicted him. The angels announced him. Now, despite how angels are often displayed on the front of your Christmas cards as these kind of golden-haired, effeminate fairy tale, you know, looking things, or either that or they are those little chubby cherubim, you know, those little naked babies with wings floating on wispy clouds. Okay, despite how artists and, you know, people who sketch those things might portray angels, they are nothing like that. The Bible describes them in ways that appear to us to mean that they were in every way majestic, they were powerful, they were awesome, they were staggering in all of the way that they looked. Because every single time an angel appears to someone throughout the Bible, the angel always says, don't be afraid. Why? Because when you see these towering, majestic, incredible, powerful beings, you were likely to be afraid. That's how massive and magnificent they were. If they showed up like Justin Bieber, nobody would ever be afraid, right? But they show up as these incredible spirit beings that are mighty and majestic. It's the reason why the angels had to say the same thing to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. It's recorded in Luke 2, verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. The shepherds were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests, goodwill toward men. So the angels announced it. They declared the birth of the Messiah. The prophets, they predicted it. And then the shepherds, they proclaim it. They witness it, and then they go out and tell everybody. After the angels appear to the shepherds, they go and they seek out the Christ child, Luke 2:16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. This is pretty amazing when you think about it, because the birth announcement of the King of the universe was first given to the most common people, shepherds. The most common people who lived in that day, because it suggests to us that Jesus is approachable by all. He came for all to die for all, from the greatest to the least. And he reaches out the first invitation to the most common people at that particular time. Prophets predicted it. Angels announce it. Shepherds proclaim it. They go around talking about it. And then the wise men, well, they worshiped him. They sought him. Now, the wise men are kind of shrouded in mystery. We don't know too much about them. What we do know, based on what the Bible tells us, is that they traveled from a great distance, somewhere probably Persia or maybe even further east than that. So they've come hundreds of miles. They're on a mission to see Jesus here. The Bible also tells us that they had seen a great star which guided them. Bible also tells us that they stopped in Jerusalem and asked for further directions. Last time any men ever did. But they did. And by the time they got to where Jesus was, based on the language of Scripture, which talks about Jesus then at that time as a child and living now in a house, specific in the text, it insinuates to us that Jesus was nearly 2 years old now at this time. And it tells us that the wise men, the magi, worshipped him and gave him three gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, which interestingly corresponds to the character, to the purpose of Jesus. Gold, symbolic of royalty. He's our king. Frankincense was a spice used in the anointing oil of high priests. He is our high priest, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Myrrh, the third gift, was a spice that was used, John 19 tells us, to embalm the body of Jesus when he died for the sins of the whole world. He is our king. He's our high priest. He's our sacrifice. All three gifts point to the purpose of Jesus. And the wise men worshipped him. Tells us in Matthew 2, 10 and 11, that when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented to him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And here we are 2,000 years later, still worshiping, still in awe of the gift of God's Son, Jesus. The question is, why would God do all this? Why would he go to such great lengths to reach us? The answer is because he loves us. Because God loves us. Why would he leave the glory of heaven and take on the humility of earth? Because he came to die for us. You see, the Bible says that he looked for someone who might be righteous enough to stand in the gap, to bridge the great chasm between a holy God and sinful humanity. The Bible says he found none. Though he looked for one, there was none to be found. There was none righteous, no, not one, and all the planet. So Isaiah 59:16 says that God worked salvation for himself by his own arm. That God came to us and he died for us, because there wasn't another righteous enough to stand in our place as the sacrificial death. God comes himself because of his love for us. And God sent his gift in very unassuming wrapping. Jesus didn't come in silk sheets. He came in common rags. Because the King of the universe came for the famous and for the unknown. He came for the rich and the poor. He came for the skilled and the unskilled. For the educated and the illiterate. He came for the mighty and the meek. He came for us all. There's a story of a little boy who was 9 years old, right before Christmas. He was praying to Jesus for gifts that he wanted to get, in particular a bike. He started to write out his prayer. Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy for 3 months. I want a new bike. He looked it over. He scratched it out. He said, Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy for 3 weeks. I want a new bike. Scratched it out again, rewrote his prayer. Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy for 3 days. I want a new bike. And then in frustration, he just wadded it up, threw it away, ran outside to the front yard of the house where mom and dad had put up a nativity display. He took the statue of Mary, brought it into his bedroom, put the statue in his closet, shut the door, sat down again to write the prayer. Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again. Now that kid thinks the way a lot of people think. I got to somehow bribe God. I got to somehow, you know, earn his favor. I got to do something so that he's good to me. The reality is we can't earn his favor. And we don't deserve his favor. He gives it to us. God, who loves us, offers us the free gift of his son, Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. Not because we've done anything to deserve it. We can't negotiate our favor with God. God looked upon us as sinners, and the righteous died for the unrighteous because of his love for us. Have you accepted God's Christmas gift? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? I know many of you have, and that's why Christmas is such an incredible celebration for us who know Christ, because it's the celebration of his birth, when God came into the world. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, this could only have just little significance, not the kind of eternal significance that it does for those of us who know Christ. But the good news is, tonight may very well be the time that God has appointed for you to accept him as Lord and Savior. No doubt there's probably been people praying for you. You're not here by accident. God wants you to receive the greatest gift He's ever given to mankind. That gift is His Son, Jesus. Would you be willing to pray this afternoon and to invite the Lord into your life, to forgive you of your sins, to be your Lord and Savior? I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and whoever wants to pray this right where you're seated, you can whisper this prayer to the Lord and repeat it after me. Would you bow your heads with me as we close our teaching time in prayer? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're here tonight, and the Lord is ministering to your heart, and He's tapping on the door of your heart, and He's saying, why don't you surrender your life to Me? Why don't you receive Me as the free gift that I offer? And if you feel that tug from the Lord tonight, pray this prayer with me. I'll lead you. I'll go slowly. You pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank You that You came into this world as a baby to save sinners like me. I ask You to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse my heart, and to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to You this day forward. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. In Your name I pray. And everybody said, Amen.